You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. The
Score! This hour is sponsored by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Affordable implants, life-changing smiles.
Anthony Heron, Score football analyst.
Especially with Roma Dunze out of the lineup. And one of the ways that Ben Johnson loves to attack offensively, he sort of overwhelms the opponent with this cascading array of motions and, you know, sight direction and everything else.
They're going quick.
Yeah, don't get that. Defense is a little worn down after the long drive. Don't give him a chance to breathe. Go right back at it again.
Play fake. Williams looking through.
NFL defensive lineman and Iowa Hawkeye.
Anthony Heron receives credit for it. Tenacious job by Anthony Heron, number 99.
Mr. Heron, I want to compliment you. You're doing a fine job.
Big and Heron on 670 The Score.
We love talking to Anthony Heron. He is never scared of talking to us. This is a Plumbers 911 Football Monday here on 670 The Score, presented by Busey Bank and Gray Clips. And Anthony Heron, as you heard his credentials, is joining us via the Circa Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circa app today. And we'll break down Chicago and Cleveland on the Score's post-game show on Sunday night from 5 to 5:45. But, Ann, as far as this game is concerned, what did stand out to you the most when it came to how this one ended up in favor of the Packers?
Well, defensively, Dennis Allen had really done an impressive job of manufacturing pressure on the opposing quarterback without really having a consistent pass rush from his D-line. I mean, that's the most responsible way, let's call it, to get after the opposing quarterback. When you got a down three, a down four, a down five, who can just win one-on-one, who can beat blockers in pass protection and get to the QB, when you have to be able to add additional resources, then you do leave folks on an island. And so the mental pressure that DA has been able to put on folks throughout the season has shown up where he's at times been able to confuse quarterbacks, and you've got the experience of Kevin Byard in the secondary and just playmaking that's been enhanced by Al Harris's coaching on the back end, where a lot of these takeaways have been fantastic and have put the Bears in a really strong position this season. But when you face a veteran quarterback with a quality offensive mind and head coach and play caller, then that's a tough matchup when you're not able to just out-personnel the opponent. Sometimes you just got to be able to whip a block and get to the QB. And you look at, by comparison, the Bears offense, they were impressive in the second half with the way that you saw them be able to manufacture a pocket, essentially, manufacture throwing windows for Caleb via his athleticism and Ben Johnson's play design. Green Bay wasn't in that position. They didn't have guys in the Bears down four whipping blockers on the Packers' offensive pass protection. So as Dennis Allen was trying to manufacture some additional pressure, mental pressure, physical pressure, none of it was really rattling Jordan Love. Even at the times they came clean, ball was out of his hands. And so it was really impressive to watch the Packers operate in that way. And it did showcase one of the frailties that's within this Bears defense, that they just don't rush the quarterback at a high level without the blitz.
This segment with Anthony Heron, sponsored by Plumbers 911 Plumbing Emergency. Call the plumbing professionals, available 24/7 at 1-833-PLUM-911. Anthony, I think you summed it up there, talking about overall what happened with the defense. I mean, the explosives, that's the thing that we haven't seen in a long time. We got to go back, what, to the Lions game to see them being exposed at that level. Kyler Gordon not being there, how much do you think that had to do with what happened yesterday? Because I don't think he's playing anytime soon, based on leaving the game in pregame warmups and not being available in the game, because I'm trying to figure out, how do they correct this?
That's the tough part. And, you know, CeeDee Gardner Johnson, you know, he's been really good for the Bears since he's been here, and personality wise, since he was one of the guys who was viewed as kind of a malcontent before he got here, and Bears slugging him in the face. So it was hard to sort of diagnose early, how's he going to fit into what they've been trying to establish within that locker room, a building sort of principle, a workmanlike approach. And it seems like he's fit in really well in that regard. But, yeah, as a football player, there were some matchups, and it wasn't just CeeDee Gardner-Johnson. It was also Kevin Byard on the back end. Matt LaFleur did a really effective job of finding matchups, dictating matchups, whether it was Bo Melton, whether it was Christian Watson, them getting Jaden Reed back into the lineup.
Yeah.
He infuses something to that receiver core in a similar fashion to what Kyler Gordon does for the Bears secondary, because Jaden Reed can do so many different things in their route tree and in their motion package. He's their eye candy. You know, if he was on this Bears offense, he'd be the guy running all over the place in motion if Ben Johnson were utilizing him. So he's capable of a lot of different things, in a similar fashion to how Kyler Gordon can do a lot of different things at the third and the second level for the Bears defensively. So having no Gordon, and the timing of it matters a lot, folks, because to lose a guy in pregame warmups, a guy who you're planning on dressing amongst the active dress list for the game, to lose him in warmups, now you're just down numbers. Now you don't have as many guys. It impacts kind of the domino effect on special teams and the practice reps, the time in meetings that have been there throughout the week. Yeah, I'm sure everybody got all the mental reps you need, but I would say this game yesterday was as confused at times, as uncertain as we've seen this Bears second and third level look at any point since really early in the season.
That's a great way to put it, because on the Bo Melton play, the 45-yarder, Big Ant, yeah. And this segment with Anthony Heron is sponsored by Busey Bank. Building business, growing wealth since 1868, Raheem Harrison Grody on the score. But what did you see there? Were you able to discern Jalen Johnson and Jaquan Brisker on that particular play, where it's Brisker that appears to be in the picture last, but you have Jalen Johnson seemingly more consumed with another receiver and probably should have made the move to Watson? Or to Melton, excuse me.
All I've watched so far is the TV copy. I haven't done the All-22 deep dive on the film yet. So I'll certainly go at least partly off of the way Tom Brady was describing it, just the idea that it definitely looked like the landmark is off there somewhere. The spacing between the safety position and the corner position, where you bring a blitz and Jalen Johnson doesn't end up adding himself to that blitz. Now, why is that? Is that because he knows the whole way? He's supposed to be help, like a, you know, HBO type of situation, I used to call it when I was coaching defense. Help a brother out coverage, where when you have a route that's working over the top behind you, where you're going to relate to the spacing of that safety who's seemingly, you know, getting beat over the top on the back end and giving up that green grass that's there. They were able to scheme up routes heading into voids in that Bears secondary several times, for Watson multiple times, for Melton on this play, and it happened over and over again in the game. Jalen Johnson has been out. He's missed a bunch of time this season. And yes, I'm sure he's been in a bunch of the meeting rooms preparing for it. But not only Jalen Johnson still trying to get back up to full speed physically, and there's no reason to assume he would be, and he's even said he's not 100% physically yet, But mentally, the reactions you need to have in the moment, the verbal and nonverbal communication, the sight adjustments that happen on the back end in the secondary, Jalen Johnson hasn't been a part of a lot of that this season because he just hasn't been out there.
Yeah, I think you bring up a good point because we were talking about just whether we couldn't tell if Jalen Johnson, I don't know that he's fully healthy, you know, that part of it too. And then that frozen tundra at Lambeau really was frozen tundra yesterday. Like there were issues with footing too. I'm sure you understand that, having played on NFL surfaces and understanding what that one is. But it wasn't the same crispness that we had seen with the secondary. And what's interesting is we knew that the Packers like to spread the ball around a lot. You know, so then that would mean they're going to try to use the one-on-one matchups with the tried and trues to beat you on man and then use the other guys to kind of pick through the zone. But to do it with such efficacy, that's what was so surprising.
And you go back to the Packers' previous game where Dontayvion Wicks was huge for them. They didn't even end up needing him in the game because they had Jaden Reed to be able to be a part of how they were operating offensively. So they've got a bunch of weaponry available. And part of what makes them tough to stop is that in a similar fashion to the Bears coach. Matt LaFleur and that Green Bay offense, they're not going to get too far removed from just running the football. So you have to respect the physicality that they're trying to come downhill at you with. And so then that forces you into a position where off play action or even before they motion to a spread formation, you got to make sure you're hunkered down. Which personnel are we going to run in defensively? Because Josh Jacobs is on the field, but are they going to go spread while Jacobs is out there? Is Jordan Love going to have the opportunity to check, to audibleize pre-snap just based off our personnel or our alignment on defense? And at the end, unless you allow the play clock to tick down below 3 and 2 seconds, the offense always has the marker last. So when you're on the grease board, you're drawing up a bunch of different stuff defensively, but everything is in reaction to, in adjustment to what you think, what your educated guess is that the offense is going to throw at you. And Green Bay is so varied with their offense. They can go full finesse. They can go spread. They've even sprinkled in some tempo at times this season. But in the end, you got to worry about Josh Jacobs because if you don't, he's looking to check your chin.
Yeah, I agree with that. As we talk with Anthony Heron, you can find him anywhere and everywhere on these airwaves, on Fox, local Big Ten Network. This man's everywhere, okay? He's everywhere. He's omnipresent. And I'm glad he's with us each and every Monday as we Monday morning quarterback our way through things. I want to talk about the beginning of this game, Anthony. Okay. And obviously, the Bears unable to set the tone that they wanted to.
Right.
Were you surprised that they ran so few two times on the first two series, couple three and outs, and they were trying to throw the ball around? Caleb Williams 0-for-5. Like, what did you think of the way they came out offensively?
I didn't think as a team, I didn't feel like they looked that sharp.
Okay.
And so this is where you kind of go into dime store psychologist mode a little bit, because there was so much buildup. We were all a part of it, and understandably so, because it's exciting that the Bears were in first place and they're heading to Lambeau and the rivalry means something, and it's fun to discuss it in that way. But then think about where the guys at Halas Hall are at. It's Ben Johnson's first time experiencing this and leading a team through this as a head coach. First time the vast majority of those guys. How many players in that locker room have even had a winning season in the NFL, have experienced a playoff run in the National Football League? So this is a new stage to this version of the Bears as a whole. And frankly, I felt like in a lot of the first half, they looked a little hesitant, that they seemed to be playing a little bit tentative early. I didn't think they were really commanding the stage, being the aggressor. And in a game like that, you're either, you know, you're the one feeling the pressure or you're the one applying the pressure. And it looked to me like Green Bay was the one applying the pressure on both sides of the ball for a lot of the first half. Then you got into half number two, and it did seem like the Bears came out of the locker room with a different spark, with a different life force. And the defense did what they could. They did force a couple of punts in the second half, but certainly the offense came to life. And I thought a lot of the first half of the game, Marshall, to your point, beyond this schematic aspect of it, I just didn't feel like the Bears were kind of completely ready and locked in and kind of Clubber Lang style, you know, prediction pain. I didn't think that was the mode they were in to kick the game off.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I think in a way, Big Ant, it's good because they realize that they can't get away with this. Like that first offensive series for the Bears, I know it's early. It's the first drive of the game. You have the entire game to make up for it, but you can't have that early on in a game that big against the Packers at Lambeau Field with consequences. So,
and growth. So even think about, like, you know, just talking about kind of where our brains were in those early couple of series. I can't remember the last time I watched the Bears early offensively and just thought, man, there's all these self-inflicted wounds. Like, okay, they're going to leave Darnell Wright one-on-one more than they do anyone else because he's Darnell Wright. Certainly more than they do Ozzie Trapillo. But you get the early holding call on Darnell Wright.
That sucks.
You get a ball that Colston Loveland, it feels like he would normally haul in that first pass reception opportunity he had from Caleb. He lets that one. Now, he doesn't let it go through his hands. It's a nice play by the DB. But the ball gets into his body as opposed to Colston Loveland more effectively than probably any other pass catcher. Is really adept at reaching out and snatching the football. And he wasn't in a tight window where a big collision was incoming. Because that's normally when a pass catcher is really looking to and being taught to body catch if you got a collision coming right now. Loveland had enough space there. We could have reached out and plucked that with his hands, it seemed to me. But he didn't. Let it get into his body, almost in a more tentative manner. Defender comes in, punches that ball away. Then, what, a snap or two later, you get a false start on Loveland. Like, there was sort of, you know, a cascade of mistakes from the Bears that seemingly they'd been avoiding those types of things in a lot of the double-digit offensive drives that have been coming up lately. So, sorry to cut you off, Gross.
No,
just
it's
talking
okay.
about the mental space early. Yeah. And as I'm viewing it, that's what I'm thinking. Like, all right, this just isn't as sharp as we've seen the Bears looking lately.
And they learned they can't get away with that. They can't because they have. They have gotten away with that a lot this year, where you don't see a sharp offense, whether it's the receivers or Caleb Williams not being good, because we've all had fun with it. It's been fun. Yeah. Oh, where's Caleb for a half or three? Oh, and then he's all of a sudden good. They ran out of time, literally, in this game to make one of those comebacks. And I get it. They came real close. Things we could be having a completely different talk this morning if a few inches were a little bit better for the Bears. But it does show you can't get away with that stuff in against the good teams, and that will go right into the playoffs, assuming the Bears make the playoffs.
Mm. And I really felt like Green Bay played well. Also, like, I mean, we were talking about it all last week, and it was one thing, like, you know, kind of to your point, we were having fun with it. We were in some ways making light of it. You know, Ben Johnson poking the bear from the jump, and Green Bay and Micah Parsons talking about feeling disrespected and whatever else. And it was a very competitive game and a second half where the Bears outplayed the Packers for large chunks of that second half. That's how they fought back into it. But Green Bay was locked in for that game. The Packers were very engaged in that game, even though they're the franchise who does have the experience on these stages. They are the head coach, the quarterback, the roster that's been in the playoffs, has been in the playoff chase, that has had division titles before. So they know the consistency, the attention to detail that it takes. It's one thing to talk about it and to sort of know about it. It's a different thing to put yourself consistently in that mental space of preparation to achieve it. And that's what, to me, like, you know, bulletin board material, it can certainly be overstated, but the impact of it isn't non-existent. And I'm not even here to say that you shouldn't or can't give the opponent bulletin board material. I'm just here to point out that, yes, it can be a factor in things, and it's not as much a factor on game day as it is the other 6 days of the week. Because Green Bay looked like a team that was really very prepared in great detail for what the Bears threw at them. Not only the Bears' defense, where that blitz package that was able to overwhelm Jalen Hurts at times in the previous game, Packers had that blocked up really frequently. And when they didn't, Jordan Love was just floating off his back foot, throwing a little teardrop to a frequently open wide receiver. So they looked locked in on offense and defensively. There were certainly some players, some receivers getting schemed open, but DJ Moore trying to get the rock, I mean, like, every time he touched the ball, somebody's ready to cold cock him. Like, they were all over the ways that the Bears utilized DJ Moore in motion and varying his alignment. And, you know, the second half, I'd say credit to the Bears, because I still don't feel like it was a second half where Ben Johnson really took the game over and had Jeff Hafley confused. But you saw Bears offense executing at a really high level, and that's just life in the NFL when two good teams are going at it. So the Bears offense really came to life in half number two. But Green Bay's defense still looked more than ready for what the Bears threw at them schematically. And with some of the window dressing that Ben Johnson has become so known for, He wasn't able to trick and confuse Green Bay's defense in the same way because they're one of the top defenses in football. So that should have been the expectation coming in. But my point is Green Bay looked very ready for that stage, very ready for that matchup, and they were locked in schematically on both sides of the ball.
That's Anthony Heron. We have another segment with Big Ant coming up next as we continue to evaluate this Bears and Packers game. That was a Packers win. I don't like saying it. You're listening to a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Busey Bank and Great Clips. More with Anthony Heron coming up next here on 670 The Score.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Listen to Rahimi Harrison Grody on the Odyssey and iHeartRadio apps.
In the last play, what was your hope on that play call and what was your vantage point of how it unfolded there?
Yeah, I mean, we had a lot of options there. I don't know exactly who's going to pop necessarily, but between the options that we have and then Caleb using his legs, was hopeful we could find a way to get a yard there.
That was Ben Johnson talking about the interception in the end zone. Bears trying to get something going on that. What was hopefully their next to last play if they had gotten a two-point conversion attempt. Instead, it was an interception by Keyshawn Nixon. This is Rahimi Harrison Grody on 670 The Score, talking to Anthony Heron, the former NFL defensive lineman, our analyst here on 670 The Score and Fox 32. And our segment with Ant is brought to you by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Save on dental implants today. Ant, it's one of those where you watch that play a million times.
A million and one. I watched it a million and one.
I spent a whole hour just watching that play and like listening to everybody talk about it. And then I started then I was going back to my notes during the Philly game. And I don't know why I got trapped in the rabbit hole on that, but I really did. To
because
the point where
tiny.
I ended up having
so
to
rabbit holes are difficult for people your size to get out of. It's like your arms aren't that long.
Oh, she's just a baby. Aren't that long. The amount of the amount of times I use a step stool in a single day, it's so sad. And to just thought to further illustrate that struggle, I even called Grody because I was like, hey, I'm looking at my notes here.
You even called Grody?
Can you believe that she resorted to calling Grody?
I called Grody. I was like, hey, are you taping your podcast yet? And he's like, no. And I'm like, Mark, I've been watching this play.
It was a great warm-up for Take the North and a great warm-up for what you have up on Instagram right now.
I didn't do one yet because I spent too much time watching this.
That's
what happens when you don't have a noon game.
I thought you did
time goes quick.
No, it's just I just kept listening. I kept watching and listening. Like, dude, I just wanted to watch and listen. And also, the Texans played the Chiefs last night, so that was I had a lot of football to get to last night.
College football anger. There's a lot going on.
There was a lot going on, but the point is, like, yes, I was struggling to get out of my teeny rabbit hole, and I was like, oh, maybe I should ask somebody who played. So
play those little pink gears. Hi.
I'm just like, I keep scratching, but nothing's happening. So that said, like, what do you think about the play? Like, I should have also just texted. I really should have called everybody in my phone.
Right. Just get some group thing going on it. It's available. I've gotten the question several times last night, and the play call itself, do you have an issue with the play call? Was one question I got several times after the end of the game. I don't have any issue with the play call. I mean, especially on third and one, they ran the play that I think many of us would have been comfortable with them running on third and one, or perhaps even fourth and one in a different scenario. Give the ball to Kyle Manungai. I mean, how much of an energy giver was Kyle Manungai in that game last night? Just the way he was running the rock, the style, the force that he was running the ball with. Yeah, he was getting downhill really well. Now, I think in pure production, DeAndre Swift had a more productive game from a yardage perspective, but the run game was more efficient last night, or, you know, in particular with Kyle Manungai in there. But the juice he added to things, you could feel that within the Bears offense. So that was great. He got it on third and one and got stuffed. I mean, it just got lit up in the hole. So, all right, here you go. Fourth and one. What are you going to do? The game is on the line at that point. There's multiple timeouts remaining. So if they do run the ball on fourth and one, even if they convert, then, okay, that's great. But now you're already well under 30 seconds. So you're going to likely burn a timeout or clock it at that point. So you can still score. There's no doubt. But the clock isn't in your favor in the same way. And so I didn't have a problem with getting Caleb on the move, getting him outside the pocket, and giving him those options like the guys played when we were coming out of break there. Could Caleb have taken off and run it? Maybe. Yeah, he's fast. He could lower his shoulder. That's not what the play was definitively designed for. The play is hoping to at least throw for a first down or perhaps throw for a touchdown. And what opened up on the play was the potential for Caleb to throw for a touchdown. Held the ball a beat too long. Cole Kmet was there. Cole Kmet was available. Cole Kmet is not a one-on-one jump ball, rise and grind kind of guy. And so he was open. So if the ball gets out quicker and is more towards that back pylon, then there's a great chance that it's a touchdown. I think my anticipation is if they run the game in that field, if they run that play in that field position again, Caleb will be more prepared to just float the ball out with some anticipation earlier. And so that's a part of the learning process here that we hope for. But could he have gotten the ball to DJ Moore? Saw a lot of that out there. I don't see any way he could have gotten the ball to DJ Moore with as late as DJ becomes a part of the route tree. By the time DJ Moore is even into his route beyond the line of scrimmage, several defenders are bearing down on Caleb, and multiple of them are between Caleb and DJ Moore. The only time DJ Moore actually looks truly open, and this tends to be the case, is like, okay, the ball is out of the quarterback's hand or he's in his throwing motion. Then, you know, you see some of the Twitter folks like, oh, here, DJ's wide open at this point. DJ was not wide open. It was not a quality option to even think about throwing the ball to DJ Moore there. But could Caleb have run it and get it? Possibly. But what he tried to do was, as far as him reading the field, that was the best option. He just, as he said, didn't put a good ball out there.
Anthony, it's great to hear you talk about the end of the game situation, because I think obviously because it was the last thing the Bears did on offense, that's what we're all going to point to. But I go back to the beginning of this game. I'm just trying to sort this out because Ben Johnson told us they'd be playing better in December than what we saw at the beginning of the year. That is happening. It's undeniable. The Bears are a better football team today than they were at the beginning of the season. I'll just say pre-bye week. They're better. They're a better team.
What, are you, but
Are you saying, oh, you're waiting for my but?
I think there's a however on the way.
Yeah,
however.
Well, no. But Caleb Williams and his development as far as this season goes, I want to know if it is realistic to believe what's now become a habit in terms of him missing on these, what you would say as a point guard, layup throws, especially at the beginning of the game. Is that correctable between now and the end of the season? And I'm not saying they can't win two or three games without it being corrected. I'm just saying if they want to advance in the playoffs, that's really what I'm looking at as has to happen.
It's possible, but I don't expect we're going to see a drastic uptick in the consistency of Caleb's accuracy between now and the end of the season. Now, through my lens, part of what I anticipate is because Caleb looks resoundingly more comfortable in this offense now than he did early in the season.
Agreed.
And the vastness of the playbook that he's had to try and really consume, you can tell he's really grown leaps and bounds in that regard. Just think about the hostility of playing at Lambeau Field, national audience, crowd screaming at you. The Bears were able to vary the snap count against that Packers pass rush. I was really impressed with that. And the wide variety of motions and misdirection within the offense, Caleb has to be able to oversee all of that. I think he's doing that much better now than he did earlier and showed yesterday he could do it in a hostile road environment while also trying to, you know, switch up the snap count. The Bears didn't seem to me to be going on silent cadence on a consistent basis. So I thought a lot of that was really impressive just to show mentally where Caleb is at in this offense. Now to get from the mental aspect of it and have some of these things within the route tree turn into muscle memory, that's where I think it becomes more of an issue that more of this to me will be corrected with off-season work. To get to the point where he goes from, you know, from taking the snap from center and just getting to that plant foot and really letting the ball rip with proper mechanics and consistency of it. He seems really charged up at certain points in games where his rhythm, the rhythmic nature of him just even delivering the ball just looks a lot harder and faster and more effort-based than at other points in the game. That was just the demeanor of Caleb in the pocket seemed to adjust in the second half to me, where he seemed to be throwing with more composure and comfort. And I'm no QB doctor, but you know, there's someone who I believe Caleb will likely be able to spend some time with in the offseason just to mechanically get down how you go from snap to plant foot and do it with the proper mechanics that really enhance the consistency of his accuracy, because all the physical gifts and the horsepower are there. I just think to be able to turn it into more physical muscle memory will enhance the consistency of his accuracy. And that's just tough to pull off during the season.
We actually did just add QB doctor to the list of things that you do. Right. If you don't mind, Butte.
That's good to know. Yeah. Put it on my wiki.
Yeah, yeah, it's on your wiki. Full circle here, HBO, help a brother out. What did this game mean? What did we actually learn from this game? Are the Packers just better than the Bears? Are the Bears still really good? Where are we going with this? What did you learn? What's your takeaway at the end of the day?
As of December 8th in the year of our Lord 2025, yes, the Packers are still better than the Bears. But it is exciting to me that the Bears, for a half of football, could go toe-to-toe with a Packers squad that really played well. I know Jordan Love threw the early interception. I don't know if he lost sight of CeeDee Deuce or what happened on that one, but it's a bad ball. And Jordan Love will occasionally throw a bad ball, but he's not turnover prone once you get to this point in the season. We got a few years of evidence on Jordan Love where he tightens things up when you get into November and December. He played really well, extremely composed. You have the comparison between the way Jordan, and you know, few quarterbacks have the pure arm strength of Caleb, but by comparison, where Jordan Love is, he's getting the ball out of his hands. He's got the confidence to just sort of float it into spaces where his pass catches will run under it, whereas Caleb, he's that sort of half a beat late, and he feels like he's got to really gun it to get it in there, and like to see Caleb more consistently grow in that direction. So one quarterback looks more consistently comfortable than the other, and one defense just has some action figures up front, and chief amongst them, Micah Parsons. I don't know what his stats were in the game. He might not have recorded a tackle, but man, did he impact the game
on a
consistent basis. He did get a tackle. All right, congratulations to Micah Parsons on his $50 million tackle, but I mean, the dude was all over the place, and they really seem to have a focused approach on aligning him in what we used to call a joker alignment, where you have someone who's normally a player with their hand in the dirt, a defensive end type, who you're moving back into the box in a two-point stance, And so pretty frequently you can stem him around in that spot and frequently rush him in between the tackles. It feels like a blitzer, even though you count them amongst that down four pass rushers. So they run a lot of joker package with Micah Parsons, and he got matched up with guards. And a lot of times it was Jonah Jackson. They seem to want to try to have Micah tee off on Jonah Jackson and some passing downs. And even though he wasn't getting sacks, but that penetration and the fury that Micah Parsons brought into the pocket set up a lot of what Green Bay did off of that. So the Packers played really well, and the Bears responded. And they didn't respond because Ben Johnson outsmarted the other team, as has been the case at times this season. Yeah, you know, the touchdown pass to Colston Loveland, great play call, outsmarted him on that one. But overall, the Packers were ready for what the Bears threw at him, even in half number two. But you saw a Bears squad execute the game at a higher level. That, to me, is a really good sign for what can be to come in December.
Agreed. Anthony Heron, thanks so much for joining us, as always. So quarterback doctor, that's part of the resume, guys, now?
Yep.
No, okay. Not that one. You can call me a pass rush doctor and a whole lot of other stuff. I can talk the game, but yeah, we got some other QB doctors.
Pass rush doctor. He is now accepted being called a pass rush doctor.
We're the board, yeah.
And hey, we already know you're the football guy at the score.
He has his PRD, his pass rush doctor.
When you guys talk
doctor.
To Tim Jenkins, next time you talk to Tim Jenkins,
tomorrow,
ask him about sliding head first.
Oh,
as
yeah.
opposed to football.
Marshall, write that down.
Yeah. No, it is. Yeah, Anthony texted it. Texted it to us, so he actually wrote it down for us.
Yeah, I've had a few QB guys talk to me about that as something they're beginning to teach at the position. You don't lose yardage, and you don't expose yourself to maybe a big hit while you're sliding foot first. I'd like to hear Tim and other QB doctors' thoughts on that.
That's a really good call. Anthony, as always, we thank you for your time, and congratulations on now
That's
being a doctor.
That's our PCP referring us to a specialist.
Exactly.
Yeah. Check your chin, man. We'll talk to you later.
Again, you can listen to Ant on the Scores post-game show after the Chicago and Cleveland game. That is Sunday night this week from 5 to 5:45. Coming up next here on Raheemy Harris and Grody on 670 The Score. I like that we're giving Andrew Billings love. I just like Andrew Billings. Is that wrong?
No.
He's a whole lot of guy who needs a whole lot of love.
If loving Andrew Billings is wrong, I don't want to be right. And he did make an impression in that game. So we're going to talk about not just how, but something that Mark picked up on at training camp, which ended up resulting in positive moments for the Bears. We'll do that next.
Did you become a doctor?
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second, and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Rahimi Harrison Grody, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Third and goal. It is Jacobs plowing up the middle. Josh Jacobs is in. Touchdown, Packers.
They played a little more pass defense, a little bit back, and then McLeod is the unblocked player on the top of the screen, and it's McLeod, not a big corner, very physical, going up against one of the most physical backs in the league. Jacobs won't be denied getting his team into the end zone.
Move. Get out the way. Unfortunately, on that play, Josh Jacobs got everybody else out the way. And it happened a few times in this game. We haven't even talked about his 21-yard run that bothered me. This is Rahimi Harrison Grody on 670 The Score. And that touchdown ensued on a drive where Andrew Billings was up to no good, Mark Grody.
That's right. Now, I don't know. Do we have the audio of this entire play, gentlemen? I will just set it up like this. 4:18 to go in the fourth quarter, 21-21. It's two plays after the play which Layla just spoke of, the Josh Jacobs 21-yard game where Kevin Byard eventually brings the dude down. That brings us to a second and four for Green Bay. Take a listen to this.
Jacobs back in. This play's blown dead. The Packers may have moved.
Yeah, there was a move call by the Bears defense when they said move. And as soon as they go move, then it sounds like it's a cadence, and then that offensive line gets a little goofed up.
Neutral zone infraction. Oh. Defense, number 94. Pros has to miss the goal. Still second out.
He got fooled. The move went the other way. There was the move.
Yeah, they made the move call. We also called that bungee. That's the call the defense is making the huddle. We're all going to move at one time like a bungee. And that voice inflection by the linebackers say, move! Sounds like the center's cadence, which screws up the offensive line.
Wow.
A good tactic by a defense. They just jumped a little far themselves into the neutral zone.
Tom Brady, Kevin Burkhardt on Fox. So the plan backfires for the Bears. Daniel Hardy ends up getting the penalty, and I can identify that. And this is one of those cases where it'd be easy to say that they're out of town stupid, but it's pretty subtle what was going on here. It was Andrew Billings, not the linebackers, who was yelling, move!
Get out the way, an attempt
to mess up the cadence on the offensive line or with Jordan Love. This is something that was going on in Caleb Williams's first training camp with the Chicago Bears. Andrew Billings was an absolute menace by doing the move in training camp constantly and wrecking young Caleb Williams, who was just learning how, he was just a baby, learning how to play football. And Billings was a menace to him. So in this spot right here, Billings yelling move ended up messing up one of his teammates, Daniel Hardy, with a neutral zone infraction. So just all sorts of irony and layers on that play of Billings ruining the Bears for that very moment. And I know we love Big Bill. It just backfired. Really, the problem was Daniel Hardy. You should have known that Big Bill was going to yell it.
The intentions were pure. I like where Billings is coming from.
I do too.
But everyone's got to be on that same bungee cord, if you will, according to Tom Brady. And when one guy messes up, well, now the whole thing's negated and we're headed the other way.
Get out the way!
And the problem is Daniel Hardy isn't used to practicing with them.
That's true.
So
rotations are a
poor
thing.
Poor Daniel Hardy's probably like, oh, you need me to move.
Where do you want me to go?
Got it. Yeah, he's probably thinking it's under the guise of communication. Billings is doing it because he knows he's had success in practice. You could easily see where the breakdowns were in the good intentions.
That's kind of fun. I wonder if by Wednesday, when I'm back in the Bears locker room, Daniel Hardy and Andrew Billings will have something of a sense of humor about that. If I bring, I don't know if it was brought up to anybody in that play. I doubt it because it's just too small of a play in the game to waste a question on. But I will ask both of those guys.
We know you will, if
whether on the camera or off mic or on mic. But I'll get to the bottom of it. But I did think that was, if nothing else, a very interesting moment in the game.
You know what my biggest takeaway is from this is that Caleb Williams has come a long way and that we're not worried about him doing the things that he was doing, not even last season, but at the beginning of this season.
Well, it also just goes to show if there's the slightest advantage that a player can take on the field by doing anything, not only is he doing that to help Caleb Williams in practice, but he's going to try it there just to see if he can catch Jordan Love.
Sure.
The problem was he caught somebody, just was his teammate. But I like where the effort is. I know we've talked about it before and how much the Bears missed him in the run defense last year. I don't even want to know where the run defense would be this year without him. Like that's a thought. That's incredibly sobering.
And he hasn't always been starting. You know what I mean?
No, that's not the role anymore, right?
Yeah, yeah. I actually didn't look at the starters yesterday at the very beginning of the game. But yeah, he's been coming off the bench, and he has not gotten lighter. Big Bill is Big Bill. There is no doubt about it. He's a big boy.
I want to share this note on the note of Big Bill being big on the Packers Radio Network. There was a certain point yesterday as I listened to the first half of the game on that broadcast where play-by-play announcer Wayne Larrivee said that Andrew Billings is as big as a house. And then later on in the second quarter, he got bigger in Wayne Larrivee's mind. He said he's bigger than a house. So in Wayne Larrivee's mind,
he's a house.
Andrew Billings
he's
just kept getting bigger and bigger.
Oh my God!
Well, and there was,
he's an apartment complex, this guy. Touchdown Packers!
Is that your Wayne Larrivee?
Kinda. You just growl. That's it. That's really all it comes down.
This guy is 900 pounds! Look at him! He couldn't be fatter!
Wow.
Sounds like a very frantic Green
He's
Bay
down!
Packers
he can't
call.
Even get up because he's a house!
Wayne Larrivee fat shaming.
I mean, kind of.
A little bit, yeah. This guy, like he had a sandwich. Now look at him! He's obese!
I mean, he had 3 tackles, 1 for a loss, so Andrew Billings didn't make an impact.
Also,
in my life, I've never seen somebody that big!
You're Wayne Larrivee.
Wait, if you did that at practice, do you think it would have an effect?
If I did it on the sidelines?
Look at Billings! He's got to be 2 tons!
He would run after you.
He would be kindly asked to leave, Mr. Mark Grody would.
That would be distracting at practice.
Wayne.
More arrogance! From Matt Nagy!
Oh my God, the call!
Who looks like he's gaining weight! Fatty!
What? Sometimes with Mark Grody, you just have to wind him up and let him go.
Yeah, that's it. That's it.
No, why?
Are you
more
unwell?
Arrogance! More arrogance!
By Matt Nagy!
More arrogance! More fatties!
Wow.
Have you ever?
I have not.
Seen somebody that large in your life?
I'm supposed to speak, but I can't because I'm laughing.
I like unhinged, crazy Wayne Larrivee. I think that's going to be the new bit.
It's like it's
Ben
like,
Johnson is a terrible head coach.
So when Wayne Larrivee's just had it and he's letting it rip, this is the alternate ego.
That's
Wayne
it,
Larrivee.
Right. Everything he says is just screamed with a growl, and a lot of it is fat shaming.
Why fat shaming? That seems very harsh for a character.
There's a lot of weight-based comments out of you today.
That's
Mark
true. Gray. Well, I mean, they're 300 pounds. How
big
is
a house?
How big?
I'm sorry, bigger than a house.
It was Wayne Larrivee.
It's huge.
Yeah, I knew there was one more in there.
And this is a guy who did play-by-play for William the Refrigerator Perry. He was the Bears announcer in 1985.
He's 302 pounds!
Holy gosh.
George Cumbie doesn't have a chance!
Wow.
That goes way back. That is for my old heads.
I know. You said Donald Driver earlier, and I was like, hey, you can't say that about Donald Driver, because Donald Driver is very much like my era of awareness watching football.
I was actually very happy to be wrong about that, because that means I'm not as old as I thought, and then people that are younger like you, Layla, you, Marshall, you're getting up there,
I got
pal.
Called 74 over the weekend.
Okay, it's
who? But you won't tell us who.
I'll tell you who.
Here's what you guys have going for you. Neither of you will ever be as old as me. Congratulations.
You don't know that.
That's true.
In
I could
the
die.
Eyes of us.
I could be dead tomorrow.
Yeah, if you
what
die.
The hell is that?
D-E-dead. I hope you're dead.
All right. Get him,
why?
Get him back on the Bears report. One wishing, loss, and now he's talking
now,
about death.
Now he's wishing death on people?
Oh, man.
Hey, that seems a little extreme to the take.
You think I've gone, now I've taken it too far.
How about
we do five on it, then? We could put this train right
can
back
you,
on the
can
track.
Can intro five on it?
It's time for five on it! Five fat people!
We have questions next.
If they could just take it and shove it up, you know what?
Yeah!
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second, and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered. It's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at AboutAmazon.com.